CliffCentral.com.
All right, everybody, let's turn our attention to what would normally be Markets Mondays with Markets.com, but today it is a Tuesday. So whether you're a new trader looking for a safe place to start, or you're an experienced trader, someone who's done this for a while and you know exactly what's going on and you need all those tools at your disposal, you maybe do big spreads, you do multi-assets, you do high tech, you will find Markets.com suits you perfectly. Because there is a special offer for all our fans as well. If you listen to CliffCentral.com, they're not just going to give you access to the platform, which is free, but if you sign up today and you register with Markets.com, you follow the link on Cliff Central, you will get a 30% bonus on your deposit. Now, that sounds too good to be true, it's because it is, but go and check it out. A 30% bonus on your deposit. Follow the link from CliffCentral.com to get into markets.com and register. Do it today. And while we're talking about this, it is time to bring on none other than Dylan Bester, who's been with us a couple of times already. Dylan is the guy who is going to help us understand what's going on with markets.com this morning and with the market in general. He's the co-founder and director at Skycastle International Investments, and he's a business partner of markets.com. How are you, Dylan?
Good, thanks.
Good, man. Nice to see you.
Well, Dylan's in studio with me.
I know. I can tell you two have already had a conversation about all this stuff. But let's just talk about Q1, which is the first quarter of the year, 2023 earnings season, which is upon us. So there are financial institutions like JP Morgan, Citigroup, BlackRock. They're all releasing their earnings, along with retail and B2C giants like Procter & Gamble, Nestle, Johnson & Johnson. Big releases from big tech, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, a whole lot more. So what can you tell us about earnings season so far?
Well, what we've had, we've already had a lot of these companies you've mentioned reporting. So over the last 2 weeks, these companies have reported. Generally, what's happened is they've beat consensus. So a lot of these companies, from banks all the way to information technology, to your consumer staples and your consumer defensives like your Procter & Gambles, have actually managed to beat the expectations. But the expectations were lowered by analysts over the world going into the season. So it's caused a bit of a positive outlook on earnings so far this season, although the guidances and that haven't been as staunch and as high as they expected them to come in at.
So are you telling me it's generally good news or generally bad news?
Generally good news. So it's been a good season. I mean, we've had the markets pushing higher. General companies, it's very mixed bag. You've got some companies on the lower end, not the names you mentioned, but they haven't done as well. But your bigger names, your bigger companies have managed to still continue to perform in the rough trading environment that we've seen over the last 6 to 12 months.
All right. So Dylan, tell us quickly, because this is excellent. It's a great way to start Markets Mondays, even though it's a Tuesday. Normally, people don't expect this kind of good news. And considering the way the markets have behaved in the last year, two, three, it's very, very good indeed that we have a little bit of earnings season news, which is positive. So tell us, given current inflation, which is the big ugly word that keeps on rearing its head in South Africa and the world, what would happen for the Fed to pivot their strategy? Of course, they're playing around with interest rates. It's the only tool that they have at their disposal to control or to influence inflation. What do you think is going to happen over there with the Fed in America? And then obviously the Reserve Bank here in South Africa.
What we've got tomorrow is we've got the Federal Reserve releasing their statement for interest rates. The expectation is for another 25 basis point hike. And then followed by a hold period where they're going to assess the economic data and potentially start cutting rates, but only around the end of this year. The important factor to remember here is that the pivot chair would mean that they would come in on Wednesday tomorrow and actually cut rates. That'll take a lot of pressure off the actual consumer at the moment and then have a lot of a positive spin on the overall economy going forward, because you're lightening on your interest rates, which you said you'd get up to 5%. So, I mean, the last 12 months has been excessive for any consumer in the US. They've had interest rates going up 4.5% from almost zero. So it's a very, very different environment than what they find themselves in. So a pivot, I think, would be found with a lot of optimism, where the Fed started cutting rates straight away. The likelihood of this, though, in the given circumstance at the moment, isn't really more than 40%, just because they've still got a long road ahead of them. They've still got this year. We've had sort of a better earnings season, But inflation still, it has slowed, and it's slowed nicely, good enough, but not to the levels where they're expecting. So it might take another few months to actually work us down to get to a point where they have to sort of pivot. So I don't think there's a pivot ahead for us to cut rates, but there certainly is some form of hike rate. And then from there, we're going to actually assess the data and see what transpires in the next few months.
All right. So considering what's going on in the global macro economy, what is the likelihood of an impending recession? This is also the big ugly word that everyone's avoiding. We had people talking about recession for the last 3 years. Whether or not we've actually clicked over into recession or not seems to be almost like a political football at the moment, because they keep redefining a recession. But do you think that we have big gray clouds on the horizon, or do you think that we have largely managed to escape that reality because of the way that interest rates, among other things, have played their part in the global macro economy?
I certainly don't think we're going to miss in a recession. I think there will be a recession. Whether this is excessive recession, the term here would be a hard or soft landing on this recession. The hard landing on a recession would effectively mean that there's no more. There's a period after rates that there's basically stagflation. There's a big slowdown in the overall economy. I think we're going to miss that, but there is going to be some form of recession where we could get to a point. And that's as you say, they've redefined the term already last year to say 2 quarters of negative growth don't actually mean a recession. They've done this before with inflation. They called it wrong. So my expectation here is that we will go into recession. We've already seen a slowdown in growth, which is flowing through to the economy. So there will be a recession, but I don't think it's going to be as drawn out as everyone expects. The Federal Reserve have come out a few times and said they're here to support the market and in general, the stock market. So there will be a recession, just be sort of short-lived, let's call it 3 to 6 months, and then we'll continue from there. I don't think it's going to be a massive drag on the economy, but it's also quite an interesting time. I mean, we've got to get that inflation number down, and that's going to be our determinant right now from inflation. And also the growth of the economy.
Okay, so we've heard about all these Q1 earnings, and we've heard what you think is going to happen with recession, the global macro economy. But what should traders be looking out for when it comes to earnings season? What should we be looking for in the results of these companies, among other things? Like, what would you be looking at as a trader?
So there's 3 factors I'm focusing on at the moment. That's certainly given the environment. I'm focusing on margins, so company operating margins and their net profit margins. How are these faring in this environment and what are they guiding over the next quarter? Second to that is if there's any AI or any form of AI to increase their productivity. So that's the second thing. And then also any sort of comments on China or global supply chain infrastructure. Because that's quite an important part at the moment, because there seems to be a bit of tension flaring again between the US and China. And you don't want that to be a sort of backstop for your company to continue earning. So those are the 3 factors we're focusing on, but mainly it's margin compression, how these companies are faring with higher costs, and are they going to make it out? And we've seen a lot of the information tech companies actually reporting better margins to show that they're still able to produce good results on these margins. But they've also cut quite a lot of employees. So those are the 3 factors, the margins, any comments on AI or how they're going to use it in the future. Certainly the biggest factor. We've seen a lot of the bigger companies like Google, Microsoft, NVIDIA, all actually continuing higher these stock prices just on the back of AI comments.
People come here to listen to you and to hear from markets.com so we can get some good business advice on what we should do with our trades. But obviously, you know, a lot of the time, there aren't really obvious things that everybody should be doing. Otherwise, we would all be doing them anyway. But what do you think the most solid portfolio choices you can make at the moment might be? S&P, Dow Jones, how are all those indices performing at the moment?
I mean, these companies have had a stellar start. I mean, these indexes have had a stellar start to the year. Your NASDAQ's up just around 21% for the year. Your industrials are up single digits, as well as S&P. I mean, the S&P carries a lot of weight with the banking and the financial crisis that we've just seen, and another one that happened last week. But in general, I mean, I would stay away from smaller companies that are based around hype. You've got to focus on sort of companies that are cash generative and making good money. just because they'll be able to fare the recession that's coming ahead. You don't want a company going into recession talking about slowing on their consumer. I mean, the amount of sales and revenue that's dropping and they're going into recession. I mean, those are the first companies that are not going to continue to eke out a profit. That being said, though, is the best advice I can give is currently, if you see a profit in this environment, and this is more of a trader's market, more of an active environment, you don't want to be sitting still on a portfolio right now. Just because you aren't sure of what's happening over the next 3 to 6 months. And some of these companies, and especially the indexes, are priced to perfection. So where we are now is literally where we should be at the end of the year. So we've got sort of 6 months runway, but the markets are already sort of priced in perfection. So any bad news going forward from here could cause some concern or some sort of value destruction, not destruction, but a value loss. Because I think you don't want to be sitting on companies that you've got a big loss in and you want to just try and ride it out, because the recessionary talk and environment will certainly bring those values of those companies lower. So if you see a profit, take it, book it, and carry on. Look for your next opportunity.
All right. Finally, on that note, we've seen a couple of corrections in the commodities sector. A lot of people like to to mess around with, you know, minerals, gold, with various other oil. People like to take a chance on those things. What would you say about the commodities sector, and what movements are you expecting for commodities in the short term going forward from here?
Perfect. I'll comment on gold and on oil. Just we've had some recent headlines there. I mean, on the oil space, we've got OPEC, which is pretty much like an organized oil consortium. They're trying to control the price of oil, and higher oil prices for them mean better profit margins as well. So they continue to talk up the price of oil, and they continue to sort of influence the price of oil through their speech. So the likelihood here is that oil does go higher and sort of goes back. It's around $80 to $90 at the moment. I do think it goes to $100 again and potentially just above. We've seen gold as well trading above 2,000 recently, which has been great. Although over the last, say, month, we've seen it come back. Although over the medium term, I do favor gold. I think it's the right sort of position to be in. Just from perspective of owning gold in an economy where there's a recession. So I do favor commodities going higher in general. And that's the sort of broad outlook.
Well, there we go. You're not going to get better advice than that. Dylan Bester from markets.com this morning with Markets Mondays. And you can find out more by going to markets.com. I suggest that you check out all of the different things that they offer on their website. There are all kinds of useful tools, also resources that you can use, people who are really on the pulse like Dylan, who can help you with all of the information that you need, whether it's doing very complex things or whether it's doing the stuff that a brand new wet behind the ears trader might want to do. Dylan, really great to see you, and thank you very much for being on the show with us this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Awesome. Very, very good. CliffCentral.com.